Hello, this is my Lenten Diary for March the 15th, 2024. Today is Friday in the fourth week of Lent. This is a reading from Mark 11, verses 1 through 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the streets. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Here ends the reading. The first 10 chapters of the Gospel of Mark summarize the period of Jesus' public ministry in and around the Sea of Galilee. Mark's style has been brisk. We have been swept up in all the action. Everything is happening immediately. Because of the way Mark tells the story, we may have lost any sense of how much time has elapsed between Jesus' baptism back in chapter 1 and this entry into Jerusalem at the beginning of chapter 11. From this point onwards, however, the pace will slow dramatically. Everything that we will read in Mark from now until Easter Day takes place over the course of 8 days. Every year on Palm Sunday, when we read the story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, I always try to imagine what it must have been like. As much as the Gospels pump up the accounts to give us the impression that the population of the entire city was lining the street to watch Jesus ride past, I'm not altogether convinced. I've been a city dweller too long. I know how cities have lives and this sort of hum of perpetual motion. I know how that sometimes a big event can happen on one side of town, and even with all of our communication apparatuses, people on the other side of town are completely unaware. But don't get me wrong. I do believe there was a crowd on that first Palm Sunday. I do believe plenty of people had heard about this rabbi from the North Country. I do believe there were people who were anxious to see if he would perform miracles in Jerusalem. I also believe that there were people in the religious and political hierarchies who would have seen Jesus' appearance as one more potential disturbance to the status quo. And like I said, I believe there were plenty of people in Jerusalem living their lives with not a single clue about what was happening across town. Every year on Palm Sunday, thousands of Christians gather in churches across our land to remember this gospel event. We all do it some version of different and some version of the same. We may wave some palm fronds. We'll sing some songs. We'll read the story of Jesus' entry and maybe the story of the Passion. We'll hear a sermon, and then we pretty much get on with our lives. Some of us may be moved by rehearing the story of Holy Week. But others of us are distracted by the tasks that await us after the clergy person finally offers the benediction. And in the meantime, the rest of the world outside our churches buzzes along, mostly clueless about the sacred nature of Palm Sunday. As we've been reading Mark this Lent, one thing has become clearer to me than ever before. For all of the thousands that Jesus fed, for all of the hundreds that he healed, and for all the hours he had spent teaching the crowds and his disciples, most people still didn't understand his mission. As Mark tells the story, he had predicted the events that would unfold in the days after arriving in Jerusalem on three different occasions. And still, no one in his company seemed well prepared when everything begins to unravel. Lately, I've been thinking about how I'm right there with the disciples in their confusion. Sure, I'm quite familiar with the gospel accounts of Jesus' last week and the narrative differences between the four gospels. Yep, I can find connections between the way the story is told and how all of the gospel writers draw on the Hebrew scriptures to offer insight into the high drama of these days in Holy Week, as it becomes increasingly inevitable that Jesus' predictions about his death will come to pass. And still, I'm troubled. I'm troubled with how easily it is for me to engage these stories solely on an intellectual basis, remain distracted by all the things, and go about my daily life during Holy Week, mostly unaffected by the sheer emotional weight of the events which the church remembers every year. We Christians remember these holy days because we believe they changed the course of human history. We believe that the events in Holy Week wrought the salvation of the world. This year, I pray I will remember that these holy days not only changed human history, but they have the power to change me as well. Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let us pray. O God, you have given us the good news of your abounding love in your Son, Jesus Christ. So fill our hearts with thankfulness that we may rejoice to proclaim the good tidings we have received through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen.